Well, we know that traditional church going in the Western world is in decline, and it's in the form that it's been. And that makes many of us have to wrestle with how we try and reimagine church. But I don't know about you, I find that really quite hard, because I'm used to and steeped in the tradition that's been around has emerged over centuries. So I kind of feel as though I know what church should look like, and I'm used to what church looks like, and I like some things about how church is. So it can be quite hard for me to reimagine what it might look like if it was completely different. I think we probably all know from our life experience that it's often more difficult to unlearn something in order to learn to do it the right way. So to unlearn bad habits in order to... It's much better to get it right from the start, isn't it? Because it's hard to unlearn stuff in order to be able to take on board new thinking, new ideas, new perspectives, new paradigms. But it's occurred to me as I've been preparing for this sermon that perhaps in trying to reimagine, we're starting in the wrong place. Jesus' focus wasn't on church. Jesus' focus was on the kingdom of God. It can be hard to recognise the kingdom of God. We can recognise church, or at least we can recognise the form of church that we've been used to. We know what that should look like. But of course, much of what we know as the way we do church is human creation, hopefully inspired by God along the way. But we create human organisations, we can understand them, we can control them. But the kingdom isn't something that we generate ourselves. God's work and God's initiative is the kingdom. And we can't create that. We can't set that up. We can't plan it or organise it or control it. We can't make it do what we want it to do. Instead, all we can do is to seek to recognise it, to learn to recognise it. So what does the kingdom look like? Well, actually, in answering this question, what does the kingdom look like, that was Jesus' life work, wasn't it? Jesus modelled it. He modelled it through his prayerful, self-giving life. He modelled it through his compassion for humanity. He modelled it bringing healing and wholeness and freedom. And Jesus taught it. We're looking at that in particular at the moment in our series of sermons on the parables of the kingdom. Many of the parables start with, this is what the kingdom looks like. If you want to be able to understand, if you want to be able to recognise, if you want to be able to discern the kingdom amongst you, this is what it looks like. So Jesus taught us what the kingdom looks like, and Jesus modelled it. And it's significant that actually he used... Most of the examples he used in the parables were all drawn from everyday normal life and from nature, from creation. Because that's where the kingdom is to be found. In everyday normal life and in God's creation. So when we try and reimagine church, perhaps we're starting in the wrong place. Perhaps actually we need to do what Jesus did, and focus on the kingdom. So Vision Sunday, as we're gathered here today, thinking about the present, thinking about the future. I guess what I'm urging us to think about today is, how can we make a shift in our thinking so that we can seek first together the kingdom of God? So that we can have a kingdom focus like Jesus had, rather than a church focus. And Psalm 68 helps us with this, the Psalm 68 vision that we have as a parish, because Psalm 68 vision focuses on the nature and the character of God. and therefore the nature and character of God's kingdom. And so the values that we see and can draw out of the Psalm 68 vision are natural outworkings of the kingdom of God. Our scripture today, actually I think Steve only read the actual parable, but in Luke's gospel it's set in the context, it's set in the healing of a crippled woman, which we'll come to in a moment. But the broader context is that Jesus is being pokey with the religious authorities. He's challenging the religious people of the day. Because the religious people of Jesus' day were probably a bit like us. They liked their religion the way it was. They had preconceived ideas of what worship and faith should look like. They had an established culture and traditions and rules and expectations. Their way was the proper way to do it. Their way of worshipping, their way of gathering, their way of being church. Well, this is the proper way to do it, isn't it? This is what we like. This is what works for us. And of course, when we've got such a clear idea of what we think it should be like, it's really, really hard for us to see beyond that or to imagine that differently. But the real challenge, what really struck me as a real challenge in this, and I hope will strike you too, is that the religious people of Jesus' day were unwilling. So it's all right to have those things, they're not bad things in themselves, they're neutral things. But the people of Jesus' day were unwilling to let go of their religion as it was. And because they were unwilling to let go of it as it was, they were unable to recognise the kingdom amongst them. And because they were unable to discern and recognise the kingdom among them, they were unable to follow Jesus. We are the religious people of today, or some of them. What about us? Could it be that our idea of what worship and church life should look like could be getting in the way of us recognising the kingdom amongst us? Could it be that our idea of the worship and church life and how it should be, it's not just getting in the way of us discerning the kingdom amongst us, but it's preventing us from following Jesus. Perhaps it always has prevented us from following Jesus. I've been reading quite a lot of Richard Rohr in the last few months. And this quote particularly struck me as I was thinking about today. Richard Rohr says this: we worshipped Jesus instead of following him on the same path. We worshipped Jesus instead of following him on the same path. This has made us a religion of belonging and believing instead of a religion of transformation. A religion of belonging and believing instead of a religion of transformation. Of course, we've talked in the past, haven't we, about the blessed, belong, believe, become pathway of faith. And of course, that's right. All of those elements are important. But what Richard Rohr is saying is actually the church has focused on belonging and believing the right things, doing the right things and belonging together, at the expense, not often, of blessing wider community and society, and of transformation, of becoming who God has called us to be. If, as a church, it's all about believing the right things and worshipping in the right way, then we tend to turn in on ourselves and we cease to be good news. Because to be good news, we have to be able to offer a gospel of transformation. We have to be able to witness to transformation in our own lives. We need to be able to offer transformation to others. And we need to be seen to be at work to bring transformation to the ills and injustices of society. I don't think Jesus really called us to worship him. I'm not saying it's wrong to worship him. Jesus called us to follow him, to follow his way of living. The kingdom of God, the way of Jesus, brings transformation, salvation, healing, wholeness, freedom, abundant life. And so we come to the parable of the mustard seed. Now, the immediate context in Luke's gospel for this parable is a gathering in the synagogue on the Sabbath. A woman who's been bent double for 18 years, Jesus sees her and sets her free. Immediately she stands up straight. This is a clear sign of the kingdom. But the leaders of the synagogue are indignant. Jesus has broken the religious rules, and he should know better. He's broken the rules by healing on the Sabbath. Human traditions and rules obscuring the kingdom. Jesus points out their double standards. They're happy to untie their oxes and their donkeys in order to give them water on the Sabbath. How much more appropriate is it for a daughter of Abraham to be untied and freed on the Sabbath? Signs of the kingdom. Here we have the immediate seed, the physical and psychological transformation of this woman. But the bigger picture here is that Israel, God's people, are spiritually sick. They are, metaphorically speaking, bent double, crippled, not able to be the people God's called them to be. And so Jesus, who out of compassion brings healing and freedom to this woman who's been crippled for 18 years, he does that as a sign of the kingdom and as an act of compassion and love. But it also reveals that Jesus is longing to untie Israel, to set the people of Israel free from their tight boundaries and their rigid rules. But their religion is preventing this from happening. How many people today are bent double, held captive and bound by forces of evil, because much of the church is focused inwardly on doing its traditional religious thing, unable to recognise the kingdom, unwilling to follow the way of Jesus? Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Jesus says the kingdom is like a tiny seed producing a huge tree. A huge tree that then can accommodate all the birds of the sky. A kingdom that can accommodate all people, can provide safety and shelter and a home for all people. What can one action in one synagogue on one Sabbath achieve? One healing of one woman, transformational for her, rippling out and impacting those around her. But of course, every time a satanic chain that has someone tied up in and broken, every time a tie like that is broken, another victory is won, which will go on having repercussions as it brings transformation, rippling out to more and more people. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a tiny seed that grows into a huge tree. But then he also goes on and says, again he says, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a small amount of leaven hidden in the flour. It seems insignificant and ineffectual, but before long the whole mixture is leavened. The leaven of the kingdom in our lives, in our relationships, in our communities. Bishop Malcolm, the newly appointed Bishop of Repton, said this in one of his letters to the diocese. It is when we all catch the breath of the Spirit and get caught up in what God is doing that new life readily breaks out, like a long-awaited social, economic and spiritual springtime. Good news for the poor, release for the captives, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. When Jesus sows the seeds of the kingdom, nobody knows what will result. Nobody knows what will result. We need to let go of our preconceived ideas of what God will do. We need to let go of our preconceived ideas of what the kingdom will be like and how it will take shape. And instead, nurture and cultivate the kingdom leaven within our lives. And to seek to discern the small, seemingly insignificant kingdom seeds in our context, in order that we might see these seeds grow into large trees, the branches of which will provide shelter, safety and a home for all the people who respond to the transforming good news of the kingdom of God. So, to conclude, I guess what I'm saying today on this Vision Sunday is that perhaps we need to stop trying to reimagine church for now, and instead focus on nurturing and cultivating the leaven of the kingdom in our lives, through our prayer lives. And to focus on discerning the seeds of the kingdom in our midst. To seek first the kingdom of God. And to remember that Jesus' message isn't so much to worship him, but to follow him. Let's try and make sure that we are followers of Jesus, that we can discern the kingdom in our midst, and then I suspect we don't need to worry about the shape of church, because that will follow naturally. Let everyone with ears listen. Amen.